We'll save that for another day, okay? This morning, I want to talk to everybody about forgiveness. And let me share how this whole series of messages has come about. A couple months ago, I was talking to a couple of my friends who I grew up with, and one of our favorite memories that we had as children was going camping. We would go to Shawnee State Park. Anybody ever been at Shawnee State Park from around here? It's over in Bedford County, and that was pretty much my summer home when I grew up. We would go there on, oftentimes we would go on a Friday, and then my mom and my sister and I would stay until the next week. We would stay all week long. By the way, that's when it was only like $3.75 to stay overnight. Now it costs you a small fortune. But we would stay there throughout the week. My dad would go home and travel, go to work, and then he would come back down on Friday evening. One of my favorite things to do was to have a campfire. And so oftentimes, there was my family and then our friends who had three kids, and of course their mom and dad was there, and usually they had two other adult children, and they would show up sometimes, and then there was a couple other families that would gather around where we would always be, and we'd have a big campfire. And I remember a couple times when there was a guy there. In fact, he was part of the ranger staff that would come down and sit around the campfire with us. His name was Jerry Miller, and we got to be pretty good friends with him. And the reason he sticks out in my mind is because when he would come down from the office, which was a pretty good trek to come down to where we were at. But you could see Jerry coming from a mile away because he was confined to a wheelchair. And he would make that trek down to our place in a wheelchair, and then he would almost never get to ride up in his wheelchair up because that was kind of tough. We'd load him up. I remember loading him up and taking him up, and he'd get in his car and go home. But he would bring down a guitar with him, and we would sing, and we would sing different songs. And I was talking to my friends about it, and we said about that one song that really sticks out to me. You've heard it before. And we may sing it here a little bit, depending on what the time it is. But it only takes a spark. And so at that very moment, I went, okay, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. And I started to think about what we could do to move in towards summer. You know, the long season of Lent's over and Easter's over and Mother's Day and now we're heading into the summer months. And I thought about something to get us fired up to live the life that God so much wants us to live. And the problem is there is a lot of people today, even in churches, who is not living the life that God has for them to live. Because they look at the scriptures and they go, that's for somebody else. They don't listen to the teachings of God. They do it by themselves. They don't live to the fullness of God because they've made that decision in their own heart that they can do whatever they want to do. And one of the biggest areas of that is forgiveness. We oftentimes, and I don't want to show of hands, but you know if there's somebody in your life that you haven't forgiven for something. Or perhaps you did something and they haven't forgave you. Or perhaps you've done something and you haven't gone to them and said, I'm sorry. There's a lot of dynamics at work within this. And Jesus spent a lot of time talking about forgiveness. He did a lot of things to ensure forgiveness. One thing he did, he went on the cross. And he allowed himself to be killed on a cross in order to give fact, from the cross, he said to, he cried out to his Father, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. He wasn't talking about John or Mary. He was talking about the Romans that were there. He was talking about the Pharisees that were sitting there spitting at him, saying, why don't you come on down? Mocking him and belittling him and put him on that cross. And he says, Father, forgive them. And so I began to put this together, I'm going to say 2 months ago. I started formulating some ideas, and so this one is the first one that I came up with, and I thought about having this. And so today we're going to start to examine five different foundational teachings that Jesus gave that if you can spark it in your life, you can ignite a fire within yourself, within your family, within your church, within your community, that people will see and know and respect. The spark of forgiveness. This was posted in New York, a newspaper just a couple weeks ago. Brian Reedon, an Uber driver from Nashville, Tennessee, stopped at a convenience store to fill up his car with gas. Another car pulled in beside him, and a teenager got out of the passenger side, pointed a gun at Mr. Reedon, and said, give me your wallet, give me your keys, I'm taking your car. Well, this Mr. Reedon didn't move as fast as what this kid wanted him to do, so the kid shot him. Jumped in the car and took off. A few days later, that kid was arrested for hijacking a car and stealing and many other things and of course, attempted homicide by gun. And he faces a long, lengthy penalty term in prisons. Well, Mr. Reedon spent some time in critical care as he continued to recover, and he finally made a full recovery. His reaction to the ordeal might surprise many people, but he said, I forgive that boy. I have no anger against what happened. My only prayer is that he finds his way. That's an extraordinary act of forgiveness. I know that many other people have heard other stories of miraculous forgiveness. Charles Carl Roberts. Anybody recognize the name? Charles Carl Roberts. He was the man who shot the skull of the Amish families down east. The skull came out and said, we must give forgiveness. Robbie Parker, whose daughter was killed at Sandy Hook's shooting. He stood in front of the cameras and publicly said, I forgive the man who shot them. Renee Naper, who has a daughter killed by a drunk driver in 2002, she reached out to the driver while he was in prison and not only helped him come to terms with what he had done, but she also said to him, I forgive you. And she even lobbied for his early release. I wonder, in my own self, would I be able to do that? Would I be able to give out that kind of forgiveness that God says that we're supposed to do? There are many people who've already decided right here, right now, wait a minute, Pastor, you're talking to me about this thing and this thing here. I earned the right to have this. I don't like that person. I'm going to hold this grudge against that person, and you're not going to talk me out of it. I'm not here to talk you out of it. Or you're the person sitting there saying, well, he hurt me, and he doesn't deserve forgiveness, or I hurt him, and I meant to do it. I'm not here to talk you out of it. That's not my department. That's not something in my job description. My job description says that I are to expand on the Word of God and give you the Word of God. Let the God's Word give to you an explanation. Let God's word stand on its full authority of saying, here it is, folks. This is what it means. If we can understand what God says, if we can take what God gives, if we can use what power God wants us to use, you can forgive anything you want to. Because it only comes through the grace of God. The greatest challenge to forgiveness many times for us, though, is not these extraordinary cases. They may came once or twice in a lifetime, perhaps. And some have more, I'm sure. Where somebody's killed or maimed or something because of an act of somebody. But most of the time that you and I have to forgive is those little things. Those little things that bug us. You know? Those things that you say to somebody, well, this is why I'm mad at that person. And they go, doesn't make sense to me. But in your heart, in your mind, you've made sense of it, saying, now I've earned that. That person hurt me, so I need to hold that against them. You know, I've seen so many people come across my path in different ways, especially in counseling, who come up with all sorts of excuses of why they're allowed to hold on to their anger, their unforgiveness. I had one man say to me one time, he says, the reason I'm so angry is because I had somebody bully me when I was in high school. Now, this guy is 30-some years old. And he's holding it back because somebody bullied him in high school. Now, I'm not saying bullying is right. No way. Am I saying? And if you're a bully, if you turn out to be a bully, God's going to get you. But he's so angry and mean because somebody bullied him in high school. And I said, so if somebody was, if you were treated well, would you be happy and glad? Well, I don't know. Well, why don't you know? If you were bullied and that's why you're so angry and mean, if somebody treated you good, wouldn't you be happy and glad? Well, I don't know. And I said to him, you know what it boils down to? It's your choice. You want to be angry? You want to be upset with people? You want to be, you know, that person sitting in the crowd with their, you know? That's your choice. If you want to be happy and glad, that's your choice. I had a girl say to me, my mom always looked down on me, always sold me short, never said I was any good. She's out of the house. Her mother and her are estranged. And again, I said to her, you know what? It boils down to a choice. It's your choice if you want to be that way. I had a person come to me one time in early in my ministry at Pine Glen, and he got upset with one of the co-workers at his work. And he took it to the boss, which was absolutely probably the biggest flaboo I've ever seen in my life, because the boss was the one he was upset with. And it was over. I can't remember the full circumstance, but it was kind of stupid. And he walked into that office, and of course the boss is the boss. You know, we may not always agree with them. We may not always give much thought to their thoughts. But he's still the boss. And he says, I'll never forgive you for what you've done. And the boss said, okay, hon, see you later, fired. Off he went. Well, he pretty near lost everything. He had a beautiful home. His wife got very upset with him because there was no money coming in. And he was sitting in his living room for about 2.5 years, angry at his boss, not even looking for a job, not even trying to find a job. It don't work, does it? So his anger with his boss over some stupid little thing, he told me, and I went, it was one of those head scratchers. You got mad at your boss because he said that? Oh my gosh. I probably said more than that in the church pulpit, and you probably were really screaming at me. But he was so angry with his boss, he just stopped. And he lost everything. All because of a refusal to give God's word credit. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, if you would. Listen to what it says. For if you were forgiven, if you forgiven man for their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. How many of you have heard that before? Go ahead and raise your hand. If you have, don't raise your hand. You just heard it, so you got to raise your hand. Right? It plainly says this. If you forgive others what they've done against you, and it doesn't qualify if it's little, big, you know. It just says, if you forgive others, God will forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, what's it say? God won't forgive you. And what happens if he doesn't forgive us? If he doesn't take our sins away, what happens to us? Say it. You go to hell. That's what happens to us. If we don't forgive, we have a sentence waiting for us that you and I don't want to have. And yet there are so many people in churches today that believe that they're right to hold on to a grudge, they're right to hold on to anger, they're right to do all these things, whether they did it or someone else did it, all because you hurt me. Let's put this in a little bit more perspective. Because of your sins and my sins, we hurt Jesus. We put him on the cross. Say that. I put Jesus on the cross. And he rose again the third day. Go ahead. To forgive my sins. You understand that? I want you to think about that for a moment. In fact, where Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 6, just a few verses before that, in verse 12, he says this, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Where's that out of? The Lord's Prayer. How many of you can recite the Lord's Prayer? How many of you right now is thinking that? The Lord's Prayer in your mind. Just. And we oftentimes get to that point and go, ooh, he didn't mean me. I'm a special case. I'm allowed. That's because God takes the idea of forgiveness so seriously. It is the main reason why he sent his son to die on a cross. Because of Adam's disobedience, all became disobedient. It's in our nature. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. No matter who you are, every one of us will miss that mark every time. But only through Jesus Christ can you and I have complete salvation because of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And if you want to walk in the fullness of God's forgiveness, you must be willing to forgive. Let me repeat that again for you. If you want to walk in the fullness of God's forgiveness, you must be willing to forgive. No questions, No ifs, ands, or buts. There's nothing, no gray area there. There is no, well, this is there and this is there. I mean, this is straight and narrow down the point right there. If you want to walk in God's forgiveness, in His fullness of His forgiveness, you must forgive, period. And so I want to share some thoughts with you about this as we go through this. The first thing is this that we must do is that we must choose to forgive because we have been forgiven. Did you hear that? Let me tell you what. Forgiveness never comes easy. There is not a person in this world that forgiveness just happens. Now, there are people that are very forgiving. There are people that get hurt and they get over it and they move on. And yet there's other people in this world that when they get hurt, they don't let it go. They keep it going. They hold on. I have people in my family like that, that will hold a grudge. That's their nature. But we choose our nature. Let me tell you, we choose our nature. And they choose whether to forgive or not. Ephesians chapter 4 says this, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. So which one come first? The act of having something done to us or forgiveness? We forgive because we have been forgiven. God forgave us when He was on the cross. He purchased our forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. And we, you and I, can walk in that fullness of His forgiveness if we forgive others. I'm sure many of you have heard of Corrie Ten Boom. At age 52, her and her family was arrested by the Nazis for providing safe harbor for the Jews and members of the resistant movement. She spent her life in Christian service, especially working with the mentally disabled people. But the Nazi regime considered her to be a dangerous threat, so they arrested her, put her in a concentration camp. And in that camp, she was imprisoned with her older sister, and her older sister already had bad health, and so she didn't survive that imprisonment. And Corrie herself was scheduled to be executed, but because of some clerical error, she was released. I say it was God's providence that she was released. A few years after she was done with out of that and the war was over, and she was at a church there speaking about forgiveness, about how God casts our sins into the deepest part of the sea and remembers them no more. And she kept talking about this, and she kept looking over the crowd, and there was one gentleman in that crowd that she kept looking at, and she recognized him. He was one of the guards at the camp that she had been imprisoned at. She saw his face, remembered him in his uniform and his cap with the skull and cross and bones emblem of the Third Reich. And she remembered the leather crop that he would swing and smack them with that across with his belt. She remembers the shame of walking naked in front of him. And after the service, this man approached her and said, "That was a fine message. How good it is to know that our sins are cast into the bottom of the sea." And Corrie didn't know what to say to him. He extended his hand, but she was hesitant, and she didn't want to shake his hand. And then she said to him, "You were a guard at the place I was imprisoned." Now, he's seen so many people go through that prison. he couldn't think of all of them. But he said to her this. He said, back then I was a terrible, terrible person. But since then, Christ has come into my life. And I've asked for forgiveness. And I'll ask you right now, will you forgive me? She struggled. She struggled with that. And I can understand why she would struggle with that. She just got done talking about forgiveness, and now she's faced with this right there, right in her face. And she thought to herself, I've sinned, I've been forgiven every day of my life, and now I'm supposed to forgive. And she struggled with it for a few days, and then finally she was able to track this man down, and she talked to him and said, I forgive you. All that you did. You see, we forgive because we have been forgiven. If she can forgive this man for what he's done, only by the grace of God, you and I can forgive even those little things that people have done to us. The second thing I want you to understand is we forgive as many times as it takes to get to see it through. And again, going back to Corrie ten Boom, after she wrote the book, The Hiding Place, she was emotionally devastated in an ordeal where some of her friends, her Christian friends, had done something and she was hurt by them. And like before, she chose to forgive, but she kept coming back. She wouldn't allow herself to let it go. Okay? She kept wanting to hold on to it. And so she went to a pastor friend of hers, and he kind of put it in perspective. And if I would have thought about it back then, I would have probably had somebody go out there right now and ring that bell and just keep ringing it for a little bit. But he said, you know what? It's like the bell that rings. And in their church, they had this enormous bell, and the rope came down in the middle of the entranceway. And he says, watch this. And he rings the bell, and he gets it going, and it's ringing. And all of a sudden, he says, I'll let it go. And he lets it go. But guess what happens? It still rings because that bell is still going back and forth, and it's still ringing, and it's ringing a lot. And he says the same thing is true with forgiveness. The more times you pull on that, the more times you remember that, is the more times you won't forgive it. You won't move on. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verse 25, it says, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. See, that's a good habit to get into, is to go to the Father and say, Father, I need to forgive this person, and I need your power to do it. Which brings me to that third part, which is kind of intertwined with this one, is because when you forgive, you need to make it objective to forget. How many ever heard somebody say, I'll forgive, but I will never forget? Dave, you took my football. You wouldn't give it back to me. I'll forgive, but I won't forget that. How many have ever heard that? How many of you have ever said that? Don't put your hands up. I don't want to embarrass you. How many of you right now are thinking the same way? Oh, I'll forgive, but I'm never forgetting that. Corrie ten Boom is another person who is another example of this. I'd mentioned she had some close friends that really hurt her. And she had said that she'd forgotten. And there was a group of them got together, and there was a friend that came from America over there. And they were sitting there talking. And this friend looked at Corrie and said, aren't those the people that hurt you so bad? And she said, yes, everything's forgiven. Everything's okay. And then she said, but I still don't see it like I see it. I still say there is nothing to forgive. They still say there's nothing to forgive. That's the people's voice saying to Corey. They still deny that something happened. But I can prove it, Corey says. I can show it. It's in black and white. I have a letter and a document that they signed against me that I could show you. And her friend paused for a moment and gently asked her. She said, Corey, aren't you the one who said that your sins are at the bottom of the sea? Why then is your sins of your friends still etched in black and white? How many of you have black and white etched on somewhere in your mind of somebody, what they did to you? Christ said he forgives us. God said he forgives us. And listen what Isaiah chapter 43, 25 says. Yes, God's saying, yes, I alone will blot out your sins for your own sake and never think of them again. How many of you have a sin, don't show your hands, that you would be mortified if it was projected up on the screen? How many of you have a sin? Now, those people who have those sins, if you are under the blood of Jesus, those sins are what? What? Wiped away. Gone to the deepest part of the ocean. Never to be remembered by God again. Now, I had an argument with one person one time about the sin. I'm going to close up real fast here, but he said, we're going to have to stand and give judgment for all of our sins. Well, no. No. God says, I've taken them, put them away. But we will have to answer to God for things that we haven't done or things that we should have done. We will have to answer to God, because if we didn't forgive somebody, wow, you're edging out in the bad area of life. You see, it's not an option. It's not something that you can take it or leave it. It's something that if you don't forgive, what? God won't forgive you. You understand that? I mean, if you can grasp a hold of that, and begin to make sense of that in your own mind, overseeing that thing that someone has done to you. And I'm not taking away any of the hurt. I've had people do things to me as a pastor, and even not as a pastor in other ways, that just hurt to the core. And Annie could tell you there's been times when I come home from different places and churches, and I just feel... what's the use anymore? They don't listen to me. They're always picking on me. I mean, I've had some tumultuous or some very difficult conversations with people in churches, even to the point where we're hollering and screaming at each other. I've tamed it down some, you know? At least I hope you've seen that. I haven't gotten in your face yet. Boy, don't get on the bad side of me either, because I can get pretty mad, especially if I feel strongly about some point. But what I'm trying to say here is that so many times we have those sins that we want to hold on to, but God says, I forgave you of your sins, and I've taken all your sins, even that one sin or two sins or three sins that you've done, even when you were young, and I don't know them anymore. They're gone. We have to forgive. Let me go back to the beginning here for a moment. I was talking about singing that song, and I think we're going to sing it. It only takes a spark. Now, today's spark is forgiveness. And let me tell you what, if you can find it in your heart today to forgive that person or persons completely, that you forget everything. You don't hold any account. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says that love keeps no records of wrongs. Take all those records of the wrongs that have been done to you and can them. Throw them away. Don't look at them. Don't allow them to dictate your life. And if you spark that in your life today, your life will begin to change in so many ways. If there's something that you've done to somebody, go to them and ask them for forgiveness. If somebody's done something to you, you go to them and say, "It's okay, I forgive you for what you've done." You be the person. And you'll have a different outlook on life if you do that. So we're going to sing, "It Only Takes a Spark."
It only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around can warm up in its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, spread His love to everyone you want to pass it on.
How I wish for you, my friend, is happiness that
news is this, that if you allow that spark of forgiveness to start taking place in your life today, your life will not be the same tomorrow. Examine yourself, examine your life, examine all those things that you have in your mind as records of wrongs and begin to take them away one by one and see how your life changes, for I guarantee it will. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit will be among us. And that, Father, if there's someone here today that would love to give over their records of wrongs and they feel compelled to come to the altar to pray for that or be anointed for that, Or Father, if there's someone here who's never given their life to you, Father, and they want to do that today, whatever the need, whatever the case is, Father, give them the power to overcome the fear of stepping out in faith, of being in front of people. Because, Father, if we don't acknowledge you in front of our brothers and sisters, you can't acknowledge us in front of your Father. And so, Lord, bless each one with us and be with us and help us, Lord, now for you to search us and see those things in our lives that we need to give to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Search me, O God, is our closing hymn, 387. If there's something that's laying on your heart, come on up and we'll pray over it. many of you know what's happened to Patsy over the few years. And I've talked with her many times, and I believe today is a breakthrough for her. There are a couple people that have been involved in her life that have devastated her in some of the things that they've done. And she come up this morning saying she wants to forgive them completely. And it's a struggle. It's one of those mega things, as I said before, that it's hard to forgive. But now it's not her, it's not her ability, it's God's grace, it's God's will. And God will get that done through her if she chooses to allow that to happen. That's what we prayed for, that she would allow that to happen, that God's grace would fill her with so much that she could go beyond the hurt. And it will change her life, I guarantee it. And if somebody here is struggling with something that you just don't know how to forgive, let's pray over it. Because God wants us to be in his hands. And this is the one way you and I can take ourselves right out of the picture if we don't do this. In fact, if you look at the scriptures, this is one thing that God says, this or that. There's no in between. There's no gray area. Either you do or you don't. And it almost goes with salvation. Either you are or you aren't. And so it's up to your mind and your making. So I hope and pray that if you leave this place today and you have something in your heart, you stop and talk. And we'll pray over it, whatever it takes. Or you call me or you call somebody to sit down and talk about it. But please, 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 let that forgiveness come by God's grace. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask right now that your spirit would just be moving among us. And that, Father, through that, you would speak to all of our hearts, for especially those areas of life where we need to forgive and to forget and to move on and to live beyond the hurt and the pain. And so I pray, Father, for my church family here and anyone that would listen to this message, Father, that they would be able to move beyond that and be able to say, God's grace has got me through. And so, Lord, we give you the praise and we give you the honor and glory today. And we just, again, thank you for your presence here in this place. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. And all of his people said,